Mark Stein's Last Call.
Almost every sport has been cursed by COVID-19 in recent weeks. We've covered some of them here, from Italian marathon runners to English footballers. But this one seems particularly poignant, since the entire point of this sport is that it's a great visual statement of massive corporeal presence.
This is just horrible. The first sumo wrestler to test positive for coronavirus has sadly died. A date of death has been given as May the 13th. His ring name has been released as Shobushi, but his family would have loved him as Kiyotaka Omori. The Yamanashi-born strongman was only with us for 28 years, nearly half of those being dedicated to professional sumo.
Perhaps Shobushi would never have become one of the great sumo wrestlers, but we shall never know for certain. He had, though, in recent seasons been spending time on the comedy sumo circuit, or Shokiri.
The Shokiri was performed by two 27-year-old Sandanme wrestlers from Takadagawa Stable, the taller Ebisumaru and the shorter Shobushi. Clearly, the wrestlers need to be at the same stable in order to practice regularly, because comedy routines require a lot of rehearsing.
Really? As far as I can tell, Shokiri seems to mostly involve playful pats on one's opponent's wobbling buttocks, punctuated by the occasional foot in the crotch.
And in answer to some of your questions last time, yes, traditionally, this role has been given to wrestlers who are not expected to get anywhere. In other words, they have the time to fool around. Specifically, they have to be below Division 3 level. Indeed, if a young wrestler performing comic sumo suddenly becomes strong, he will be taken off those duties on the grounds that, if he has time to be fooling around, he has time to do more training. Now, that's what happened to Tochi Nishiki in the 1940s, and he went on to become Yokozuna.
Yokozuna means the grand champion. And that opportunity is now forever denied to Kiyotaka Omori. Dead at the age of 28, the sumo wrestler Shobushi. Yoshio is also a Japanese name, but in this case it's appended to a mononymous Mexican singer. America has Madonna, Scotland has Lulu, England has Sting, Ireland has Dana, France has Dalida, and Mexico has Yoshio. His mother was Mexican, his father was a maker of so-called Japanese peanuts, which are nothing to do with Japan but were invented by Yoshio's dad after emigrating to Mexico. You take a peanut and coat it in toasted wheat flour and soy sauce, very popular in Mexico. But Yoshio decided peanut vending was not for him. If you were south of the border in the 70s and 80s, you will certainly know his big hits.
Quiero preguntar tu vida, ni tu pasado. Me basta con saber que me amas y te amo. El alma sabe lo que es bueno y lo que es malo. Por eso apuesto todo mi futuro a tus manos. Lo que pasó, pasó, y queda en el pasado. Lo que se fue, se fue, y hay que olvidarlo. Lo que será, será, va, si hoy lo comenzamos. Te invito, corazón, a inventar un nuevo amor a mi lado.
Yoshio singing Lo que pasó, pasó, whatever happened, happened. A somewhat fatalistic view of life, and I wonder if he held it when he was taken into hospital a fortnight ago and diagnosed with salmonellosis. A couple of days later, he tweeted that they were now looking into whether it was COVID-19, and that was his last communication with the world.
Entonces quiero decirles que yo soy mexicano. mexicano por parte de mi madre y siempre he dicho que soy japonés por parte de un amigo de mi padre.
And now, for Yoshio, the end was near, and so he faced the final cut. Ami Maniera, I did it my way. Or in his case, he did my way his way. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 60, the singer Yoshio. Among the more than 40 residents dead of COVID-19 at just one Toronto care home, a macabre and ironic term these days, was a name that brought back some ancient memories for me because half a lifetime ago I'd asked her for advice about breaking into television. She had two advantages over me. One, she won a beauty contest in her hometown of Hamilton, Ontario, and as a result, CHCH TV hired her as one of the helpers on a cookery show. I've done that gig, wouldn't mind doing it again, actually. And then later she married one of the most innovative and energetic producers and talk show hosts in American TV, David Susskind. And so she was a fixture on our screens from the 50s to the 80s.
The Joyce Davidson Show. Today, astrology.
No year would be complete without an astrological forecast. Will the rain in Spain fall mainly on the plain? Will Geminis make peace with Virgos? Will Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis remarry? And what's with you? Well, in a minute, famous astrologer Robin Armstrong, stargazes and forecasts. We'll be right back.
As things turned out, Joyce Davidson's real big break was not winning that beauty contest in Hamilton, but insulting the Queen. She was just another CBC host until, down in New York, she chanced to be interviewed by Dave Garraway on NBC's Today Show about Her Majesty's six-week royal tour of every Canadian province in 1959. And Miss Davidson replied that, quote, like most Canadians, I am indifferent to the visit of the Queen. The uproar back home was such that within days, Joyce Davidson had quit the CBC and decided to pursue opportunities in America. She co-produced Hotline, a show hosted by Gore Vidal and Dorothy Kilgallen. There's a real dream couple. And she turned up very regularly on top American shows. Here she is bantering with Merv Griffin.
One of these men has come 10,000 miles to meet a famous person he rescued almost 18 years ago. What is your name, please?
My name is Reg Evans.
My name is Reg Evans.
My name is Reg Evans.
Only one of these men is the real Reg Evans. The other two are imposters and will try to fool this panel. Tom Poston, Joyce Davidson, Don Ameche, and Betty White on To Tell the Truth. And here sitting in for Bud Collier is the star of Player Hunch, Merv Griffin.
Thank you. Thank you, darling. Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Very nice to be here again. Tonight also the welcome mat is out to a star of Canadian television who's making one of her infrequent appearances on American television. Joyce Davidson, I hope this evening turns out to be a very pleasant one for you.
Thank you, Merv. I'm enjoying being an immigrant.
So far?
Yes.
Good. All right.
to tell the truth. She was by far the youngest person on that show, younger than Merv, younger than Betty White, younger than Tom Poston, younger than Don Ameche. And yet by the 80s, they were all still going strong. Don Ameche in the Cocoon films, Tom Poston in the Bob Newhart show set in Vermont, Betty White in Golden Girls, and Merv Griffin, of course, is the creator of Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. They were all going strong, and the young'un's career was fading away. Still, it was a grand run. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 89, Joyce Davidson. A decade ago, ISIS, the JV team of jihad, according to Obama, were rampaging across Iraq, and among those fleeing in their wake were Nadir and Nada Aram and their three young children. They eventually came to America in 2012, and settled in Michigan. Then came the COVID.
It was March when Renee Yaldo and the Chaldean American Ladies of Charity first began helping the Aram family of Sterling Heights. The kids, 20-year-old Nash, 18-year-old Nadine, and 13-year-old Nancy, forced to fend for themselves after their parents were in the ICU with COVID-19 on ventilators in two different hospitals.
The two oldest kids did have it and self-treated at home while their parents were in the hospital.
But sadly, their parents did not survive, dying within weeks of each other. Nada, who was 46, died April 21st. Their 52-year-old father, Namir, lost his battle on Monday.
Their parents were fine and healthy, and then they just weren't feeling well. And to think that that's the last time that you would see your parents is just devastating.
Yaldo says the Aram family escaped the ISIS violence in Iraq and immigrated here in 2012, hoping to live the American dream. Without any relatives here, their oldest son, Nash, is now left to care for the family.
Mom was a homemaker. The dad brought in all the money, and he took care of the family. And so these kids have to now learn a new way of life.
They escaped ISIS, but not COVID-19. And their son and two daughters have to fend as best they can. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the ages of 52 and 46, Nadir and Nada Aram. If you love rock and roll, you'll love this. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an American number one in 1982, but here's the guy who first sang it and wrote it as a kind of instant reply to the Rolling Stones song It's Only Rock and Roll But I Like It, Alan Merritt.
This is called I Love Rock and Roll. I wrote it in 1975.
Me.
In 1975, on the strength of that song, Muriel Young, whom you can see with Rex Harrison in the film The Constant Husband, Muriel Young gave that band a British television show, Arrows, fronted by Alan Merrill. He loved rock and roll, and he sang that song to the end, but he was killed by COVID-19 at the age of 71. I love rock and roll. Put another Swedish krona in the jukeboxen, baby.
Sveriges Radio.
Det här är poddversionen av jukeboxen i P4. Musiken är förkortad av upphovsrättsliga skäl. På hemsidan sverigesradio.se hittar du låtlistan.
Här är jukeboxen i P4 med Kerstin Berendt.
Having spent a fair bit of the last decade and a half tootling round the emerging Islamic hellholes in Sweden in various rental cars, I can say that Sveriges Radio, which is Swedish for Sweden's radio, isn't bad, musically speaking.
Hej! Och välkomna till jukeboxen i P4. Ikväll är en lite speciell variant eftersom vi har kortare sändningstid än vanligt.
Kerstin Berents worked at Sveriges Radio for just shy of half a century as a presenter and as director of music, the gal who picked the tunes.
Man fick lyssna på Black is Black med Los Bravos. Jag såg Yardbirds på Piren och även George Fame på en klubb. Men den här låten var en av mina favoriter. I see a line of cars and they are painted black with flowers and my love hope never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away like a newborn baby. It just happens every day. Paint it black med The Rolling Stones. Du lyssnar på jukeboxen i P4 och jag heter Kerstin Behrens. Rolling Stones är en av mina hjältar faktiskt som har följt med mig under alla år. Jag hoppas verkligen att jag får se dem på Friends Arena i nästa vecka. Möjligheten finns.
I see a line of cars and they're all painted black. Not now. Not when full church funerals are on hold all over the world. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 69, Kirsten Behrens. Patrick Devedien was a French politician, president of the Conseil Général des Hauts-de-Seine, just south of Paris, at the time of his death, and formerly the minister of in charge of economic recovery after the 2008 financial crash. The very loyalist of Sarkozyst, supporters of Nicolas Sarkozy, he had expected to become Minister of Justice when Monsieur Sarkozy assumed the presidency. But Sarkozy stiffed him and gave the job to someone else. And Monsieur Devedien remarked drolly that he thought Sarkozy should have a diverse government open to a wide range of people, even Sarkozyst. This witticism earned him the French Press Club Prize for Political Humour in 2007. Not all his bon mots were so appreciated. For example, when Angela Merkel opened Europe's borders to millions of so-called refugees, Monsieur Devedien commented that, quote, the Germans had taken our Jews and given us Arabs.
Patrick Devedjian hier a dit les Allemands nous ont pris nos Juifs, ils nous rendent des Arabes. Il s'est excusé ensuite, mais spontanément, ça veut dire que c'est un peu ça l'état d'esprit?
Non, Patrick Devedjian, qui est un homme extrêmement cultivé, je connais depuis très longtemps.
For an homme extrêmement cultivé, Patrick Devedjian could be somewhat blunt. Here he is congratulating a colleague on defeating a political opponent, Anne-Marie Comparini.
Qui a battu Mme Comparini. Et qui a fait un tabac.
Ça,
qui a fait un tabac.
That's right. In front of a TV camera, he called Madame Comparini cette salope. If you're a non-francophone, I shall forbear to translate. Monsieur Devedien subsequently regretted that he misspoke and sent her, quote, my regards and esteem. She was somewhat sceptical of the sincerity of that.
Salope. 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 Salope.
Med Aretha Franklin. Hur bra kan en låt egentligen vara? Och hur svängig kan den vara? Den här versionen är från Blues Brothers.
You better think. Think about what you're trying to do to me. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 75. Patrick Devedien. Princess Maria Theresa of Bourbon-Parma has the distinction of being the first member of a reigning royal family to die of COVID-19. She was a cousin of the present King of Spain, but believed that her own branch of the family should have succeeded to the throne. She was known as La Princesa Roja, as in the Red Princess, a lifelong socialist.
Se la llamaba La Princesa Roja, título utilizado en una biografía que le dedicó en 2002 el historiador especialista en el carlismo Josep Carles Clemente. Durante su larga vida, ella frecuentó al líder palestino Yasser Arafat.
A socialist princess was sufficiently rare for Maria Theresa to attract the courtly attentions of Yasser Arafat, Hugo Chavez, and other charmers who found her, if not quite a useful idiot, certainly very useful.
Todos estaban asombrados por su inteligencia, su vivacidad y su singularidad. Sobre su amistad con Yasser Arafat, ella decía...
Med The Doobie Brothers, det svänger som bara den tycker jag. Och vilken sångare, en av mina favoritsångare. Han heter Michael McDonald.
What a fool believes. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 86, the Red Princess Maria Teresa of Bourbon-Parma. Whether or not Azam Khan is the greatest squash player of all time, he certainly came from the greatest squash playing family of all time.
Pakistan ke char martaba squash ka best open jeetne wale Azam Khan ko coronavirus ke bas London mein intiqal kar gaye. Azam Khan ke khandani zaraye ne tasdeeq ki hai ki Azam Khan ka intiqal coronavirus ke sabab hua hai.
Born in Peshawar in British India, Azam Khan made his first appearance in the final of the British Open, the de facto squash world championship, in 1954, playing his sibling Hashim Khan. He lost to Hashim again in the finals of 1955 and 1958, apparently because his traditional Pashtun respect for an older brother restrained him from winning. It was only when Hashim gave him permission to defeat him that Azam roused himself to beat his big brother. There followed four British Open titles in a row, 1959, 60, 61, 62, in which Azam Khan defeated either his cousin or his nephew, establishing what was less Pakistan's dominance of the game over the Egyptians and the English than one Pakistani family's dominance of the game. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 95, Azam Khan, who made the squash court a field of gold.
You remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. When we walked in fields of gold.
Fields of Gold med Sting. Det är en låt som vi musikredaktörer använder oss av vid katastrofer eller vid dokumentärer.
We're all out of dimes for our funereal jukeboxen. This gentleman does not strictly qualify for our coronavirus eulogies because he was not, from a medical point of view, killed by COVID-19. Instead, on Saturday, Thomas Schäfer, the finance minister of the German state of Hesse for these last 10 years, went down to the Cologne-Frankfurt railway line near Hochheim and threw himself at a high-speed train. It was widely reported that he did so because he was depressed at what the Chinese virus would do to his states and the world's economy. Don't get overwhelmed by this stuff. Where there is life, there is surely hope. Gary Alexander, a great jazz expert and great jazz broadcaster among our Stein Club family, commented after our last show to the effect that COVID-19 was cutting a swathe through American jazz, mainly because a lot of legendary players are based in New York and New Orleans, and their mayors were homicidally irresponsible in urging the citizenry to get out for Mardi Gras and the Chinese New Year just a couple of weeks ago. So just 48 hours ago, I played a great pianist, Mike Longo, playing a Rodgers and Hart song whose title seemed soberingly appropriate. I didn't know what time it was. Since then, we've lost another great pianist who made another great record of I Didn't Know What Time It Was. Very different. Ellis Marsalis. Marvelous musician and teacher of Harry Connick Jr., among others, and the patriarch of an awesome musical family tree, father of saxophonist Branford Marsalis, trumpeter Wynton Marsalis, trombonist Delfeo Marsalis, drummer Jason Marsalis. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 85, Ellis Marsalis. I'm wise and I know what time it is now, but I'm not sure we can tie our obituary column together with the I Didn't Know What Time It Was jazz pianist of the day every day. So how about something from 4 decades ago, round about the time the edgier end of the pop biz was transitioning from punk to new wave. I think I'm on wobbly ground here. But if you were hanging out in the hipper joints around New York City, you might have run into a mononymous chanteuse called Christina, the daughter of an American illustrator and a French psychoanalyst. She dropped out of Harvard and took up with the heir to the Mothercare chain of British maternity stores. He started a record label just for her and put out a record of Christina singing Disco Clone with a contribution from Kevin Kline.
I went down to the disco last Saturday night, looking for action, feeling all right. One lady dancing was such a delight. As I sauntered up to meet her, she said,
"Boys, don't fight. I'm a disco clone."
To be honest, the only Christina record I really remember was her hipster rewrite of Peggy Lee's Brechtian dirge, Is That All There Is? The authors, Lieber and Stoller, loathed her version and took her to court over it, but in some strange way, it has the tenor of the times.
I remember when I was a little girl, my mother set the house on fire. She was like that. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he dragged me out of the building and onto the pavement. And I stood there shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball.
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 61, Christina. I'm a bit of a purist when it comes to the term dialect coach, which has been applied somewhat more loosely in recent years. But at its essence, it means the guy who helps an actor develop the right voice for a stage or screen role that might require particular geographic or historic or social nuances. Andrew Jack was one of the very best in a highly specialised business. He worked with Pierce Brosnan, an Irishman, on his accent for James Bond, an Etonian Scotsman. You can see Andrew Jack on screen in 3 of the Star Wars films, if I'm counting correctly, but you can sort of tell it's the dialogue he's focused on. For the Lord of the Rings films, he invented an entire range of Middle Earth accents. Here's Andrew Jack rather more modestly with a brisk vocal tour of the British Isles.
Received pronunciation is the great communicator. As soon as you deviate from that and you go into London speech, for example, then you lose a little bit of the communication. Cockney is based on East Anglian, Suffolk, Norfolk, Cambridgeshire. This is often by actors confused with the West Country, where the R's come in and then you get Dorset and Somerset, get into Cornwall. Devon's slightly different. It goes into the nose a bit more like that. Then you go up north to Yorkshire. It's nice if you get a word that's got one of the predominant sounds in it, like Yorkshire. Then you cross the Pennines into Lancashire, where it gets much more flexible and fluid in the mouth. Liverpool is there too, you know, it's Scouse. It's a mixture of all kinds of sounds. One of those is Northern Irish with the raising inflections, but you don't get the raising inflections down in Dublin, where it has that poetic quality, which is sometimes thought of as being not different from Highland speech, which is also quite poetic and almost Scandinavian. And then you come down to Glasgow and into the lowlands of Scotland, where you get glottal stops and things like that. And then you come down the west coast and you're in Wales, North Wales, where it's breathy like that, and down into South Wales, where you get much heavier, and Welsh people who sometimes even sound a bit drunk.
Let's break out the booze and have a ball.
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 76, 2 days after being diagnosed, Andrew Jack. Geeta Ramji was an expert in one virus who was felled by another.
For more on this story, we are now joined by Professor Geeta Ramji, Director of the HIV Prevention Research Unit at the South African Medical Research Council in our Cape Town studio. Professor Ramji, thank you so much for joining us. Now, South Africa has today begun the clinical trial. How significant is this development?
It's very significant because it's mainly it's designed for the South African epidemic.
Born in colonial Uganda, forced into exile in India, educated in England, Geeta Ramji survived Idi Amin, and she helped her adopted South Africa survive AIDS. After giving a lecture on HIV in London a fortnight ago, she flew back to Durban and brought the fatal virus home with her.
HIV is still the leading cause of death in South Africa. Now, this is despite health intervention information and resources being available. Why do we still have a high rate of infection?
I think the epidemic in South Africa is where we have 1,000 people getting infected every single day. And the vulnerability, there are multiple components to the vulnerability of HIV. There is social behavioral components, there is structural components, access to care, people not taking care. There's a whole lot of prevention options, like condoms, if used consistently, can prevent HIV infection. However, these are not used consistently.
I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love?
Is that all there is? Is that all there is?
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 60, Geeta Ramji. Eddie Large was the larger half of a long-running double act with Sid Little, Little and Large. It was what the BBC called light entertainment, although it could be somewhat heavy going.
What have you got behind your back?
A big fat bum, what have you?
At the height of their fame in the 1980s, Little and Large pulled audiences of almost 20 million people. In a nation of 55 million, that's well over a third of the population, with many millions more around the Commonwealth. Amazing. Yet they were cancelled in 1991, not because they were no longer popular, but because trendy BBC executives were embarrassed by how square it all was. Eddie Large accepted it with less bitterness than many comics. His kids were driving down from Manchester on the day that Spike Milligan of the Goons checked out. When they turned on the radio, said Eddie, the first thing they heard was Comedy Legend Dies. I told them as soon as they heard the word legend, they should have known it wasn't me. In recent years, he was plagued with what we currently call underlying conditions, but not as odd as the ones that afflicted him and Sid in the Little and Large Toy Hospital sketch.
Looks like a scene from MASH.
I'm supposed to be an action man.
And you've seen plenty of it by the look of you.
You don't know the half of it. Boxing Day, and look at me, I'm falling apart.
Ah, kids don't deserve toys nowadays.
Nah.
We'd be better off left in the shops.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me? The little boy that owns me, right little comic ears, pulls this off and then starts saying, oh, what's this here? He's ruined me squeak. Listen.
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 78, Eddie Large. Music and lyrics there, mostly by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, but not that line about the lewds. Is that all there is? Well, yes it is, just about. We shall return next week, but our 007 John Barry-style arrangement of our Stein Show theme tune went down rather well last Friday, so let's reprise it for this weekend. And in honour of Andrew Jack and the Bond star he works so closely with, from GoldenEye to Die Another Day, here's Pierce Brosnan.
Thank you, mister.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Join us next time for another edition of The Mark Stein Show. The Mark Stein Show is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. Rights reserved.